I'm sure there's a percentage, hopefully low, but a percentage that had no idea and are like, what is this talking about? So getting back to your point of people trying to get them all on the same page and then getting that out, it does need to be done quickly. Few questions, but they're redistricting questions, so we'll come back to them later.
Sure.
Because our initial goal was to talk about this override, the money. One of the questions I came up with, but full disclosure, I told Steve ahead of it. I happened to see a couple of people I know this morning who know much more and are much more involved because they've got young kids in all of this. And a lot of these questions came out of our conversation this morning. And she had another friend of hers text me some of the questions that I don't know if they've been asking or they're claiming or whatever. So I figured great opportunity to get those out there and at least get, it may not be the answer people want to hear, but it is a logical, informed answer versus, like any town, there's a lot of information going around that is not even close to being true.
The social media, unfortunately, tends to spread rapidly untruths and less rapidly the real story.
Correct. So one of the questions that kind of came up, and this has been a hot button issue since you and I were kids. It's teachers' pay. The override, that will any of it be earmarked to increase teacher pay, or is that a whole separate issue?
Yeah, so, and there's a specific slide that'll talk through in the school presentation as to how they came up with their 6.3, that is the extra, and how it would get allocated out. They already have, and the teachers, I think, are in the second of their three-year contract, or in the last, next year would be the last of their three-year contracts. So they've already got some contractual obligations. That's the salary and benefits line item. There would be a separate piece for a new contract and a new negotiation, but those negotiations, even on the town side, have not yet started. So the override does not technically fund any future pieces because they haven't settled those yet. The negotiations, as I understand it, haven't even happened.
And is that town-by-town negotiation? So there's a teachers' union
for
negotiating committee, and that's just for Franklin.
And one of the interviews I had done recently, we can include it in our, the teacher union president, Donna Grady. I spent time with her, and we didn't discuss override specifically, but we talked about other teacher issues, what they're looking for in terms and how they operate the schools. They're looking for, you know, better time in order to address the kids' needs. And some of the complaints they have, without putting words in her mouth, effectively, they're getting more and more, you know, meeting requirements and or more paperwork requirements, and it takes away the time to have face-to-face with the kids.
Absolutely. Knowing teachers, it absolutely, they're losing that. And I think we all could admit, post-March of 2020, that the children, whether they're elementary through high school or beyond, need more from the teachers, not less, and it seems like they're getting less. Kind of a follow-up to the teacher pay was a comment that, in at least one person's opinion, there's a major teacher retention issue in Franklin.
Yes.
And they feel it's going to get worse because, and this isn't my word, this is their word, these massive new schools. What would you say to someone based on, you know, again, you've talked to Jamie, you've talked to Mr. G, you've talked to Ms. Grady, you've talked to everybody. So you get more of a sense. How, if someone were to ask you that, what I would have no idea how to address it.
Yeah, I don't think that clearly may be a factor. I think that's a fear piece. We'll see how it plays out. The teachers effectively want an opportunity to have a good space to deal with and deliver education to our students. That's right. Their primary goal.
Right.
There will be some minor issues here and there as they move from one building and one room to a new room, wherever they're going to be. But once that's there, and once they're there, they're generally going to be fine. From a teacher retention piece, we as a city and a community, we're not unique to that, have a problem because our teachers are still underpaid relative to others in the area.
And yes, absolutely.
Right? So it's a common thing. You work, and once you're there, if you can look at, wait a minute, I can do this here for X, and I can go over there for Y?
Right.
Why not?
Yeah.
Right? All power to them. There, one of the charts in the school piece showed, I think it was from the administration perspective, and even to the teacher perspective, we've got a declining retention rate, which is not good.
Right.
I think the average that Dr. Dutch referenced, and he's our interim business administrator, the average end or the goal should be like in the mid-90s, right? Retain 95% of the people you get.
Yeah.
We're in the 80s.
Yeah. Right.
Right?
Yeah.
We're in the 80s. And going, you know, like from 86 to 84 to 82, that's not the right direction. So, yeah, people like to be here because of there are good teachers. There are good work pieces here.
Right, right.
The salary is not the greatest, but if you can do good things, et cetera. The other issue is the continued budget cuts. Right? So if we fail to pass this, potentially more people are going to see the handwriting on the wall that we don't value education, so why should I continue to do this here when I can go across and get more?
Right.
That's a human nature piece.
Absolutely.
Right?
And it's an individual piece that, you know, you and I have both been out in the workforce.
Mm-hmm.
You do the same thing.
Yeah.
In the workforce. Why? If I can do the same or similar work over at Y and get 10% more for doing it, yes, there's benefits for staying at X, but maybe those benefits over at Y outweigh the staying
and
at the X.
That'll be an individual decision. Clearly, you know, the benefits side, salary is just one of the keys.
Right.
Right? Salary and benefits. The benefits, from what we understand, are pretty comparable. But the salaries are not necessarily. We're at the lower end of the scale based upon.
And none of that is addressed or covered in the override.
Explicitly.
Okay.
No. Clearly, they're looking to fund and meet the contractual obligations.
Correct.
Right? Even if the override fails, they'll just find other ways. They still have to deliver to the contract.
Right.
So whatever the amount they're supposed to get, they're still going to get it. It
right.
may just mean a fee over there or a fee over there, or this program is going to get cut in order to accommodate.
So they, one of the questions I got is that, you know, supposedly, and I, again, this is coming from someone else. I haven't heard any of this, but you know, when I'm watching a basketball game, I don't hear a lot of it. So, that there is going to be increased bus fees if the override doesn't pass. So it's kind of a combination redistricting override question, because the redistricting would have potentially more students traveling that 2+ miles where you get the free bus ride. That's going to end up having a problem whether... I guess I'm wondering where the money's going to come from, because if you had 10 free riders, now you might have 30 free riders, because they're instead of going to Rem Jefferson, they're going to Horace Mann.
Right.
So now they may have been paying for bus rides.
Yeah.
But again, and it's almost like we could have two separate, completely different conversations, but all this has kind of come out at the same time.
Understood.
So a lot of people think it's all tied together.
Yeah.
It And it really
isn't,
right?
That's definitely part of the complication. Is, no, they were, to a certain extent, especially even on the override side, people wanted to have some certainty that if we pass this, are you going to come back for any more? They've committed, at least the town and finance committee have signed off on it. The school committee has yet to do so, but I expect they probably will with some modification to the... I agree with the intent of that pledge letter, mm-hmm. memorandum of understanding, whatever you want to call it. There's some wording in there that's probably going to cause some people a little bit of concern, but they can get through that and hopefully come up with a document to agree that, and currently as it is, the 6.8 would get passed, 6.3 would go to the schools the first year, and then 60% go to the schools the year after. So they would get, for the next 5 years, 4% plus the 2.5%, or 4 million plus the 2.5%. So instead of getting 6.3 this year, that would they'd get the 6.3 this year, and then they would get 4-something next year, and then 4-something the year after. If you recall, based upon what they would previously get from the town, it was like 2.5, 2.8, as little as 1.7.
Right.
So getting 4 going forward not enables them to plan much better.
Right. Because
now they know what they're going to get. So that was referenced last night in the FinCom meeting. So that's fresh info.
Okay.
So that alleviates one of the concerns I had, because I started doing the numbers and it didn't seem to add up. But they presented a slide that showed they were getting the 4 million plus, et cetera. And
right.
That sounds good.
So one of my questions was exactly that. So you're answering that.
They answered that. I'm passing it on.
Right, right.
Well, I'll refer back to the slide. Totally. Yes. Just in terms of disclosure. So is it tied to the redistricting because it's out there? Well, what kind of a financial impact is it going to have? Is a question. It's
absolutely
normal. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, the redistricting effectively, and the biggest issue I have is that the redistricting is really two plans. They came up with a proposal, call it, a draft. This is how we can best do that, right? So they're back in the room, divvy it up. How do we do that? Once they agreed, and the school committee did vote 5-2 to approve that plan, now there's an implementation plan. Now the project team, the architects, the engineers get together. And that's where the next level of detail. So people wanted an awful lot of questions asked that are implementation plan oriented that can't be answered today. Now, it takes trust, but it also takes engagement. So those people who are concerned now have an opportunity to participate in the implementation plan to make sure those answers are addressed appropriately.
Totally. And the engagement in the participation.
Mm-hmm.
You read and you hear, at least I do, complaints. It's one of the reasons you and I decided to sit down, because people don't know what's going on. We all understand everybody's life is much busier than 30 years ago when we were growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen, just through your involvement, an increase in people being engaged, willing to help out, things like that?
We certainly have seen a level of engagement of people showing up at the meetings.
Correct.
The opportunity will come in the next week to 10 days when the school puts out that Google form that says, oh, by the way, I do want to get involved in the next steps, that gets populated as well.
Okay.
That'll come. I believe, and I know Chair Callahan and others on the school committee have said, people have approached us, I'm a project manager, I'm a tech this, I'm a specialist in this, I want to help. So they have been getting those. Now we just need to make sure that clearly we get enough of the representation around the table so that truly many hands make light work.
Yes.
Two heads are better than one. You know, bring them together and then that implementation plan will go forward.
And it's also very easy. You can ask Mr. G, because I say it to him every time I see him. If you need help, let me know.
Right.
It's easy to say it. It's much harder to actually do
it. Step up and do it.
But to enhance the community and enhance the school experience and to, you know, help our town council and Jamie and everything, people have to get involved.
Yes.
They have to be willing. A town, I don't think, runs itself.
No.
And it can't be left to the people just at the municipal building, because it's not, it's their town, but it's not their town.
Well, it's
our
their
town.
Town based upon us. So just very quickly, and I think we can wrap at least at a break point here, but the town council is all volunteers. School committee is all volunteers. They provide oversight.
Right.
They effectively have two functions: hire the superintendent and approve a budget, hire the town administrator and approve a budget. Council also does the ABC licenses. They're the licensing authority of that. But that's their primary function. And then Mr. G, Lucas, and his team then manage the schools. Jamie and puts his team together, and they manage the services. It's supposed to be an oversight group.
Right.
And then every other commission, whether it's cultural council, cultural district, design, CONCOM, planning board, none of them are paid.
Right.
It's all volunteers. The last time I calculated, it was over 200 individual spots. There may be some duplication, but still, close to 200 people volunteer to provide oversight and guidance into how this town operates.
Right.
On a regular basis.
Yeah, yeah. Which is tremendous, but our town keeps growing, so you can always use more help.
Right. We're a city form of government, still called the town, but things are changing somewhat around us without our choice, somewhat by our choice, and we have to figure out, which is why the master plan, the town side of that, is trying to say, okay, what's Franklin going to be when it grows up in 10 years?
Right.
How should we grow?
Right.
Right?
Right.
That's very important. We've talked in terms of the municipal, they purchased Maple Hill and Schmidt's Farm.
Yeah.
How are those going to get incorporated? What kind of plans are actually going to be done so that we can use them as our recreational assets?
Yeah.
That's part of the master plan.
Makes sense.
Right? On the school side, they've done their master plan to say, okay, these are our facilities. How do we best utilize them to prepare Franklin for its educational future?
Yeah.
That'll feed into the town master plan, and yea, verily, at some point in time, with the appropriate engagement, appropriate oversight, we'll get somewhere and we'll grow up.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Issue with middle school clubs, middle school late bus, lack thereof, those having to be eliminated.
Yeah.
How will an override, whether a passing or a voting down of an override, impact those issues?
Yep. So we can recall back early in the conversation, we started talking about the school budget process, and they started with four scenarios, effectively brought forward the level service plus. So it's the services and the programs they're delivering this year, plus a couple of items. One addressing class sizes, one adding back the middle school programs, and the late bus. So that's explicitly in the ask that they made this year. That 9.3 more than last year, the 6.3 that's part of the 6.8. So if the override passes, we're good. Middle school programs come back. If the override fails, they're going to have to be making some adjustments on the school side because they're not going to get the 6.3. And whether they do end up or not in there, I think the odds are, based upon the projections that I've seen, they would not be there.
And you might even see cut in some other programs.
There will definitely be cuts in other programs. There will be definitely teachers' cuts. We had talked about the schools, I think, effectively funded 70% of the buses' total cost, even though the bus fees were going up. We were only paying one-third of the bus cost, right? So whatever it was only about a third of the bus cost. They're attempting to increase it. So at one point, it was going to be up to $1,100 to fully fund the bus per student.
Wow.
They've chosen not to go fully funding. So there was a slide last night that said $500 per student from a bus perspective. So this town would still be, the schools would still be funding effectively half the bus.
Yeah.
As opposed to having us fully fund the bus.
So is there a on the horizon, potentially, say the override doesn't pass,
mm-hmm.
the people that are paying $200 now, can they realistically potentially see an increase in that $200?
Yeah, it's my expectation that the sports fees and the bus fees, the activity fees, will all increase if the override fails.
Fails, okay. And those, for the most part, with a few exceptions, are all kind of in the same price range, if you will, for individuals, whether it's 200, 300, yeah, 250, in that ballpark.
Yeah, and on the athletics, they specifically kind of created three tiers. So you got hockey and football kind of the tier one. There's a bunch of sports in the tier two, and then some in the tier three.
Correct.
Clearly, I think it's the track and golf and
that
things of that
need,
sort.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And clearly, the football and hockey, there's equipment costs, hockey, there's race time, everything that. So, okay, so that's good to know. No passing of the override, increase.
Correct.
In fees, buses, whatever it may be, passive an override, not guaranteeing it. Neither you or I have the power to do that.
We're not in a position to do that, but.
But the odds are much longer that there'd be an increase.
Right.
So, in some respects, for someone like me, I'm going to be paying more either way. Whether it's paying a fee because my child plays XYZ sport or is involved in this club, or we need the bus service, so we're going to have to pay for it.
Correct.
Or we're going to see an increase in our taxes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was at least one parent, and I think it was either, it might have been at a school committee meeting as opposed to at that joint town council school committee meeting, where one parent got up and said, you know, if I've got, I think it was three kids, and she went through, it's fees for this, fees for that, fees for that, and it was quite a large number versus a tax increase, which was considerably less.
Okay.
In her circumstance, whatever it was, call it 500 versus 3,000. So do I pay 500 to increase my taxes, or do I pay 3,000?
Well, you could look at it. I could look at it. My wife and I, heck, we don't want the override. We want the kids at school paying more fees because we don't have children in the school system anymore.
Right.
But my, and you and I have talked about this. I've talked about it to many people. Both my children are at an age where they didn't benefit from the new high school.
Yes.
My son was the last class to graduate in the field house.
From the old one, yep.
Boy, do I miss that field house.
Yeah.
But that is
That's
all around basketball.
Yep.
So, that being said, when we went through this years ago, there seemed to be a more of a sense of community. Yes, I'm going to have to pay more. Yes, my kids aren't going to directly benefit, but potentially my kids' kids, if they stay in the area, will benefit, or others that I know, but the town as a whole will be better for it.
Yeah.
It seems from the outside that there's less of that. The divide is pretty...
Yeah. But through the socials and just, I think, the current state of affairs of the country and down through Mass and local, people are much more kind of self-centered, self-focused, me first, and less of that we're in it together.
And more combative about it, it seems.
Much more so, yeah. And clearly, because we're still early in the campaign, we haven't yet seen what, you know, the advocacy group is going to say. If an override will pass, it will, at least in my experience. When it passed in 2007, everybody was singing the same song from the same song sheet.
Right.
From town council through school committee, everybody was on board. That's the way to go. That has to happen. We still have time for that to happen. We're just early in the game. We haven't seen that yet. I hope for it. My fingers are crossed.
You say we have time for it.
Not much time.
That was going to be my question, because we're
June 11th is rapidly coming.
So we're less than a month away from that to happen. So those people have to come together and then get it out that they've come together.
Yeah, and that's where, going back even to the timing, respectfully on the school committee side, school committee also had, aside from the budget, this redistricting thing. I recall in the chalkboard chat, if it was not actually in the recording, it was certainly inside and outside, that, you know, we've got two things on our plate. Let's get the redistricting decision done, then we can focus on the override.
Right.
You can only do so much.
Correct.
So, yeah.
And there are people that feel that the redistricting was, for lack of a better word, thrown out there while the whole override thing was going on. I don't want to say it wasn't thrown out to confuse people. It was thrown out to maybe get lost in the shuffle and maybe think people
would forget about it.
Yeah, or something like that. I don't totally get it.
Yeah, I don't follow that line. Certainly there are those, and as we talked before, green can be green and green.
Right.
Somebody's perspective, if they hadn't paid attention, the redistricting has been on the table really since 2010, when the population started declining and they started taking the modulars off the school buildings.
Yes, right.
And the subsequent school committees diddled, and then finally that committee, I think it was three or four, at least took the action with Davis Thayer, and then the next one did a study and then punted effectively because they needed the master plan, and then this final one actually is putting the master plan together. So it's been developing.
Yeah.
And I totally understand, because back when I started, back in 2005, 2006, I was in their shoes.
Right.
I was totally in their shoes. I had no idea what was going on. And I started going to some meetings, and I'd read the paper the next day. And that's what I think I said earlier. You know, I was at a 3-hour meeting and I looked at the paper and that's a 5-minute conversation. Where's the rest of it? Right?
Yeah.
So, and that was in those days when we did at least have a paper. There was an option to get a paper.
Right.
There are no options today, so we have newsletters, and the newsletter, if you subscribe, can give you, this is the gist of what's happening, but again, it all comes down to time. How much time are we going to pay attention to this? I think overall, those who are in the school community, kids of school age, or at least coming to school age, through the youth sports and or youth activities, folks generally should be much more aware of what's going on. I say generally,
right?
Because I've... But at least recently, found people who had no idea of either the redistricting or the override, and yet they've got school-age kids.
Right.
So that happens. On the other
Is that on the individual or the school department, do you think?
Well,
or is it a combination, probably?
It's a combination, really, because with the Office of Campaign Political Finance, there are rules around what... Certainly Jamie and Lucas, Mr. G, can say some things that they can because of their role. They're CEOs of their pieces.
Right.
A teacher can't advocate for an override. A DPW worker can't advocate.
Correct.
Because that's a conflict of interest.
There's also I don't know if it still exists, but years ago when my kids were in school, there became a policy or something that... limited flyers being sent home.
Yes.
And that's how my wife and I would find out a lot of stuff that was going on.
Yeah.
Granted, we'd have to go through 23 pages of flyers, and but, you know, now with the apartment buildings being built, we have plenty of trees to provide that paper.
Yeah.
And that was an effective way to communicate, I thought.
Yeah.
Now, I'm an old guy.
It killed a lot of trees because there was a lot of paper that was in there. So as a cost measure from some number of budgets ago, they would do the PDF version of that flyer. And instead of printing out,
email,
they post it
or post
on
it, okay,
the school's pages. So, and my wife was a kindergarten teacher for many years. She would have to do those, stuff them in the kids' backpacks so that they could take them home.
Right.
Now it's up on... Now, If you don't get the email, it's on there, it's available, but if you don't get the email and you don't follow through, you're going to miss stuff. Absolutely.
So I do think that, although I totally understand why doing it, I think it does create more people that are less informed.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and granted, everybody's lives are busier.
Right.
They've got a lot to do. You and I talk about it. We don't read every email we get. And I know I miss things that I shouldn't miss.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have kids in school. They've automated a lot of stuff this week. I'm assuming a lot of other people, I'm sure I wasn't the sole target of a phone call and a text message about the override coming up.
Ballots available.
Yeah. Yep. But I knew about it. So I had known that mm-hmm. this was coming on. I've seen the yep. lawn signs and
yep.
everything.
Yep.
I'm sure there's a percentage, hopefully low, but a percentage that had no idea
mm-hmm.
and are like, what is this talking about? So getting back to your point of people trying to get them all on the same page and then getting that out, it does need to be done quickly.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. And by the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.